We're continuing from last week. We're discussing some shilas from 30,000 feet above. Initially, I started with someone texting me or WhatsApping me from the airplane about whether they could drink the coffee that's served on the airplane that was served in a mug. So I use that to discuss other questions of kashas that really come up on the plane. So one thing that came to mind that I wanted to discuss today is the question of food that's left underneath a bed. There's a halacha we're going to learn in the Gemara together that one's not allowed to eat any food that's left underneath the bed. So how that exactly works and the general rules, but it's very relevant when it comes to the airplanes. What happens? You come onto a plane, you take your lunch with you and your bagel and cream cheese, put it in a brown paper bag and a plastic bag, you put it in the seat right in front of you, right underneath that seat. And the guy in front of you, it's a long trip to Eretz Yisrael, so he's bound to take a nap. He falls asleep. And now the question becomes, are you allowed to eat that food that was left underneath the chair where he was sleeping in front of you? Other areas it comes up, let's say you're going for a stroll, you're taking out your child, you're taking out your grandchild for a walk. And there's food underneath the stroller. And the baby falls asleep on the stroller. So now, is that food going to be us or it's below a child that's sleeping? What's going to be the halacha with regards to that? Another interesting question that comes up, the post can talk about. We know when it comes to sukkahs, we have to have dal minim. And one of the four minim that we have to have is an esrog. So part of the definition of an esrog is that it has to be roi lachila. It has to be edible. That's why if it's an esrog from arla, from the first 3 years of a fruit tree, you can't eat it. It's asr. It's pasul for an esrog. So the Gemara talks about different types of esrogim where it's asr to eat and isn't good for the esrog of dal minim. Thank you. So what's the halacha of, let's say you put an esrog, you're traveling from Eretz Yisrael to New York or vice versa, and you don't want to put your esrog underneath in the luggage, obviously, it's going to get ruined. So you bring it with you on the plane itself as one of your carry-ons, and you don't want to put it up on top of the cabin there, it's going to move and break the pitom, so you put it right underneath the seat in front of you, and that guy in front of you falls asleep. So now your esrog can't be eaten, so does that make your esrog not possible for the dalad minim? This is a discussion that Poskim talk about. What about this? Let's say you, in camp. What?
Only by Jews.
So let's say in camp. Camp, very relevant. You go to a camp for the summer, and there's not much room to place any of your food, any of your clothing. So we stuff everything underneath the bed, and you pull out one of those plastic containers, and all your food and your super snacks are there, and your fruit by the foot, and everything's underneath there. But you sleep on that bed, so does that make the food that's usher? You know, in camp we always play a lot of games on each other, some types of tricks, and, you know, one of the favorite things we like to do to our friends was, you know, put some toothpaste on his finger, and then you take a little feather and you start, while sleeping, and then you start putting a feather by his nose and he gets itchy and he starts rubbing his face, he's got toothpaste all over his face now. So you want to do a nasty thing to your friend, you take his food, you put it underneath his bed or underneath your bed, and you sleep on it. Do you have the ability to aser someone else's food by you sleeping on it? How far does this iser go? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nehi bedvaro. Okay, so the Gemara found Maseches Pesachim. If you look inside, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph tells us Tana Ochlin Umashkim Taches Hamita. If there's food or drink that's below a bed, Afilu Mechupen Bechli Barzel, even if it's covered entirely encased in some type of metal, Ruach Ra Shor Alem. There's some type of evil spirit that rests on this food, and Ruach Ra, no one wants to consume Ruach Ra, and because they sakana, we know you can't eat anything that has a danger, has a sakana involved. That's why we don't have fish and meat together. That's why, according to Sfardim, they don't have fish and milk together. It's a sakana to eat something with Ruach Ra. It's therefore asur to eat. There's some type of evil spirit that falls upon this food that's below the bed. How does that exactly work? There's a machlokis in the Achronim. Is it only when a person sleeps on the bed? Or is it underneath the bed even if one's not sleeping? So according to some explain that it's only when a person sleeps on the bed, because we know the Gemara Brachos tells us when a person sleeps, it's 1/60th of Misa, it's a little taste of Misa. So it's the Misa, it's the Tumas Mase, if you will, that has a certain Ruach Ra, which is now going to be Shore on that food. Just like when we wake up in the morning, there's a certain Ruach Ra on our hands, so we have to wash our hands three times in each, according to the Gra, four times in each hand, and we remove the Ruach Ra. So here as well.
And the bed has ohal or anything like that doesn't protect the mattress in between.
No, it's not really Dine Tuma, it's not exactly Dine Tuma, but enough for the sleep has some level of Tuma that it passes through. It's a good question, but somehow the Ruach Ra is able to penetrate through any ohal, through any type of covering. Others say, no, it has nothing to do with sleep. Underneath the bed is just a place where Ruach Ra is. A certain place like a bathroom. There's just Ruach Ra in the bathroom. Certain places have a Ruach Ra. Underneath the bed, there's Ruach Ra, regardless of whether you slept on that bed or not. So let's go through some of the halachas. Now the Rambam, no surprise, the Rambam writes in the Hilchos Rotzeach Ushmias Nefesh. Now why the halacha is found in the end of Hilchos Rotzeach? Because that's where the Rambam talks about things that are sakana. When people are doing things that are dangerous for themselves, it's bichlal murder, if you will. He's murdering himself by doing something that's dangerous. So the Rambam writes, number two, v'lo yitein hatav shel tachas amita, a person should not put food underneath his bed, af al pi shehu osek b'su'uda, even though he's involved in the suda, shema yipol bo davar mazik v'hu eino ro'ehu. What's the concern of putting food below the bed? Because something might fall. There's dirt there. There's dust there. Something might get onto the food that you don't notice. I don't know what's going to be there. Something disgusting. They had mice running around. Who knows what the mice left behind. And you might eat it. And that would be a terrible thing to do. But the Rambam doesn't mention anything about Ruach Ra. His concern is about something disgusting or something dirty that might get on the food. And not because Ruach Ra.
Practicality.
What?
Practicality.
Exactly. That's Rambam Lashita. So Lecha Mishnah points out, yes. Exactly, very good. So Lecha Mishnah, actually in Hilchos Shvisa Sasar, when Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, the Lecha Mishnah points out the Rambam never talks about Ruach Ra. When he talks about waking up in the morning, we all know why do we wash our hands in the morning. The most obvious reason that's brought down in the Gemara is because Ruach Ra on our hands. Wash three hands, 1, 1, 1, 2, you know, 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3. The Rambam doesn't mention anything about Ruach Ra anywhere at all throughout all of Yad Chazakah. The Rambam also never mentions anything about Shadim. The Gemara's talk about Shadim. It's a real concept the Gemara's talk about. The Gemara talks about, you know, the Gemara Megillah, when Yeshua ben Nun met some type of being, and it was possibly a Shade, or it was a Malach. Or the Gemara talks about if, let's say, there was a pit, you walk by a pit, and you hear a voice coming out, please send the get to my wife. Whoever listens to me, send the get to my wife. And the Gemara says, you can listen to the guy, send the get to his wife. But maybe it's a shade that's in the boar, in the pit, and maybe it's not really the husband, says the Gemara. The Rambam doesn't record that halacha at all. The Rambam, his understanding of shade and ruach ra, either he didn't believe in it, or he felt, which is the more common understanding, is if you don't believe in it, it exists, but as long as you don't entrust in it, you ignore it, then it won't affect you at all. So by the Rambam completely ignoring the concept of Ruach Ra and Shadim, by doing that, you're able to ignore any effects it has on you. And therefore the Rambam either ignores these halachas or he thinks of some more practical reason. And why is it also to put below the bed? Because something dirty, something dangerous might fall on it, but not because of Ruach Ra. There's a drisha that it's hard to understand the drisha. The drisha thinks that the Rambam and Rashi are talking about the two different cases. Things that the Gemara and Pesachim is talking about underneath a bed that you sleep on, and that's Ruach Ra, and the Rambam is talking about a bed that you eat on, that you sit down. They used to sit down, like, comes to a seva, the Suda, or the Leil Seder. It's very hard to do a proper leaning. It's very uncomfortable. We're supposed to feel like kings. You find a chair, and you put a pillow like that, and it's like, you turn it like this way. It's never comfortable. So, because they used to actually sit on these chairs that they would lie down on. You know those old movies of like Caesar being fed grapes, you know that type? So that's the type of beds and couches they used to eat on. So that's what the Drisha thinks the Rambam's talking about. That type of couch and bed, there was food underneath that bed that they would eat on, not a sleeping bed. The Drisha thinks the Rambam would agree. If food was placed underneath a bed that one slept on, there would be Ruach Ra. The Rambam was just talking about a case of a bed that you eat on, and that's not a problem of Ruach Ra, that's a problem of who knows what else is underneath that bed that might get dirty. So Lamaisa, how do we paskin? What is the reason why one cannot eat food beneath the bed? So the Shulchan Aruch is very clear in Yerdeya, Hilchas Machals of Ovdei Kochavim, when it comes to non-Jewish foods. What is he, right? Lo yitein tavshil, lo mashkin tachas amita. A person should not place food or bread, or drink rather, tachas amita, below the bed, mipnei sheruach ra shorelem, because there's ruach ra, there's that evil spirit, like the simple pshat of the Gemara in Pesachim. So lemaisa, what do you do? I'm sure all of us have experienced in situations, whether it be in camp, whether it be on strollers, whether it be on the airplane, where we did place food underneath someone that was sleeping. Are there any heterim? So look at the Tshuva Shavus Yaakov number 5. He was asked this very question, and he writes, Tshuva Bedavar, Are the food and drinks that are below the bed, are they going to be asur b'di'evid? And he says, nearly pashut, it's obvious to me, de'ein kan chashash iser b'di'evid. There is no chashash. B'di'evid, if food was left below the bed, it's not asur. Rak de b'chol elu mavur b'shas aposkim. It's clear in the Gemara, dehu rak azhara l'chadchila. It's something that lichadchila one should avoid. Don't place the food below the bed, lichadchila. But had it been done, he says, it's not going to be usr. Now he brings an amazing raya. Absolutely amazing raya. What's his raya? How does he know? So look down one line. Nearly lochiach shekenhu, it has to be this way. Because matinu basugya deshas, we find many places in the Gemara, kama pamim, shehizhiru lechaver shel yochal etel am haaretz. Are you allowed to eat, if you're a frum guy, are you allowed to eat at a guy who's not so frum? An am haaretz. And the Gemara says, you can't. Why not? Because we're concerned that when he bought the fruit, he didn't take trumos, he didn't take maisos, and he's going to serve you things that are usr, which would be tevel. If the owner didn't separate truma, he didn't give it to the kohen, he didn't give maisa rishon to the levi, and so on, it's not going to be permitted. So he says, wait a second. But aren't there other concerns? Why are we only concerned with trumos and maisos? So look what his question is further. The Gemara in Babasar and Ches Kasabatim Daf Nun Ches tells us, what is a mita shel Talmud Chacham? How does a bed of a Talmud Chacham look? So it says, Ketzad, Kol she'ein tachteh elo sandolim b'mos hachama u'menolim b'mos hagshamim. A bed of a Talmud Chacham is very simple. What's below the bed? So then if it's the summer, all he has is his sandals. And in the rain, he has his rain shoes, his boots, the rainy season. That's all, nothing. It's completely empty outside of that. And what does a bed of an Am Ha'aretz look like? V'shel Am Ha'aretz domer le'otzer blum. It's like a big storage house of just everything. Everything stuffed underneath the bed. Rashi says, what does that mean? Mitas Am Ha'aretz kol davar manichin tachas mitas. And they place anything underneath the bed. Ochlin, ukelim, food, clothing, pots, pans, who knows what. Im Kain, he asks, amai lo chashishu chachamim. Why weren't the Chacham concerned when you eat at the house of the Am Ha'aretz? Eich yocholimo, halach hamira sakanta mi'isura. Aren't we more concerned with that which is dangerous than that which is usher? So why is the Gemara only concerned with eating untithed fruits? Shouldn't they be concerned with eating the food that's usher b'sakana because it's underneath the bed, ruach ra? That's a greater concern. Sakana is more concerning to us than that of which is isser. So how, if the food, the Gemara says that food is underneath an Am Ha'aretz's bed, you should never eat any food from his house because it's sakana. And the fact that the Chacham were not concerned with that must be b'di'evid. We are not bothered by that ruach ra. L'chachila, you should avoid being in that situation of putting food below such a bed, but had it happened, there is no problem to eat that food. That's just Shvaz Yaakov's understanding. But then look at the Binas Adam. Look what the Chachmas Adam writes from the Talmidim of the Gra. I forget who wrote it. So the Binas Adam writes, number 6, V'chein shemati sh'agon achasa, that's the Gra, tziva b'tznon she'enichu tachas amita. There was a certain radish that was underneath the bed. His commandment was, his tzava was, lachtoch l'chatichos ketanos, to cut up the radish into very small pieces. U'lizarka, to throw it away, k'dei sh'loyim se'enu adam, so no one should ever find it. So the Gra is very machmir on these halachas, that even b'di'evet, he said, one should throw it out, and nobody should eat it. But the Binas Adam, the Chachmas Adam himself says, Amnam davar zeh matzoi me'od b'vnei akfar. This is very common amongst the people who live in the villages. Shemanichin kol leftos u'beitzim tachas amita. They place their different turnips, and they place their eggs below the bed. V'efshir, it's possible, came into dashi be'rabim, shomer pisam Hashem. Since people are comfortable with this, it became normal, so then there's no chashash anymore. Aruch HaShulchan writes this as well, that Bizman HaZeh, there's not a concern of Ruach Ra. And Tosas writes this in a couple of places, there's no Ruach Ra anymore where we live. These halachas don't really exist.
Well, if there's no Ruach Ra, we shouldn't need to wash the hands for that reason in the morning.
So there's other reasons why, because, in terms of that particular one, right. It could be there are different types, the different levels of Ruach Ras. Not all Ruach Ras, but certain ones were taken away, like diseases. And, you know, certain illnesses still exist as they did in the past, but not all of them do. So certain ruach ras, which I guess were less potent, such as the food below the bed, that doesn't exist anymore. But ruach ra, when a person goes to sleep, is maybe perhaps more severe. But it's a fair point. So halach lemaisa, many poskim say that it's not a concern anymore. So we have three camps, really. One camp is the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chachmas Adam that says there's no Chashash anymore. There's no Ruach Ra anymore. Camp two is the Gra, that there is Ruach Ra and it's very, very strong and b'dieved, you shouldn't eat it. And then there's the Shvas Yaakov, which is in the middle. L'chadchila, you should avoid putting food below the bed. But b'dieved, had food been placed there, you're allowed to eat it. So how do we practice? What should we do l'maisa? We should avoid doing this. We should be machmir like the Shvas Yaakov, l'chadchila, and avoid. And avoid putting food below the bed if possible. That's really ideal. Why not? B'dieved, had it happened, so it depends whether you want to be machmir like the Gra or whether you want to be maker like the Shvas Yaakov. Certainly.
So what does a camper do? Let's say you go to camp, all they give you is the storage space below your bed. You have nowhere else to put your stuff.
No, my girls, when I was in camp, I didn't know this halacha. Yeah. So we did that. No one told us the halacha otherwise. My girls now, in camp, they do not put food below the bed. I think she told my daughter told me maybe they leave the food on the bed like during the day, and then like before they go to sleep, they like take it out, and then I'm not sure they put it in between the beds. I'm not sure exactly how they do this, but the camps, they are aware of these halachas, and they try to avoid it if possible. If possible, yeah. Cubbies, yeah, they have other fridges.
It's just food, right? I mean, sports equipment, things like that.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't eat sports equipment either way, though. But but yeah, exactly. It's only on food and drinks, right. Other than that.
A seat on an airplane wouldn't qualify as a bed just because somebody's...
Well, it depends. Is it a din in the bed or is it a din in the sleep? Remember we said before, if it's about a person sleeping, so a person sleeps, so he's a 1/60th dead, that misa brings rach ra. If it's about a bed, so then it wouldn't qualify. It wouldn't necessarily qualify as a bed.
We spoke about halachas about a person's washing your hands. A person sleeps during the day. If you're sleeping and out of the bed, then it's not.
Good. It depends. The different halachas may not necessarily translate over. It could be when it comes to the rach ra underneath the food. It could be sleep. It may not necessarily be the bed.
If you bend over to kiss somebody to wake them up, you're engaging in the rach ra that they have.
No, there's no such source that kissing someone sleeping.
Because
that's what the Gemara tells us.
So why don't we say that it is above it?
Because the Gemara doesn't tell us that. Ruach Ra, we don't know how Ruach Ra works. I have no idea how it works. It doesn't work like physics. Who said it works like physics? It's not like you touch someone and you zap him with Ruach Ra. We only know what the Gemara tells us with regards to Ruach Ra. It's way beyond our understanding. So there's no source that kissing someone translates into Ruach Ra. We do have a Gemara that says Ruach Ra does create below the bed when there's food there. It's beyond the understanding of logic. We don't get it. That's why the Rambam rejected it, because it's beyond the realm of Svara.
Do you need someone to be sleeping? You set and put it under the bed. Then it becomes Ruach.
No, that was the debate we mentioned before. Is it below the bed, or is it dinner in the mita, or is it dinner in the sleep? If no one's sleeping there, some say it won't have any Ruach Ra. Others say no. Anything that's underneath a bed, that's going to create Ruach Ra.
In bunk beds, there's sleeping under somebody else's sleeping. There's no Ruach Ra coming out that way.
I mean, the Ruach Ra from the top guy onto the bottom guy.
Yeah.
So too, we don't have a din of, the Mar doesn't talk about a person below the bed where that Ruach Ra goes onto a person. We know it goes onto food.
That guy can't eat in bed.
Right, so I'll give you an example. Where do we have a chilik between food and people? So let's say it comes to Tumah. Using Tumah as an example, Tumah is a very good example, a model for Ruach Ra. So let's say you have an Ava Tumah, let's say a Sheretz. So a Sheretz has the ability to be mitame a person, and it also mitame food. Let's say that Sheretz touches me. So I'm now Rishon L'tuma. I, as a Rishon, do not have the ability to make you a person tame. But I can make food tame. So food is more vulnerable to Tuma than Adam is. So the Ruach Ra is more susceptible on food than it will be to a person. So in terms of your case, although I can make my food Ruach Ra, I can't make the person sleeping below me necessarily Ruach Ra.
And the Gemara talks about an Amaretz has all that stuff below the bed. That carry forward to say that nowadays one should not do storage under their bed or for anything?
If a person holds himself as a Talmud Chacham, yes.
Okay,
so ideal. But at the same time, I could also say if you hold yourself as an Am Haaretz, then you should do everything. So what's in between? I'm not sure. If you only have two models, then there's everyone in between.
With all the wrapping paper in the house, it always be the best. Uh-huh. He says, Lady take Tab Shul.
So I was making a good point here. There is a discussion in the poskim whether or not this Ruach Ra applies to raw food. Tavshil indicates cooked food. So if it's raw food, there are some poskim who say, again, we don't understand how this works, Ruach Ra, but some poskim contend that Ruach Ra does not apply to raw food, only to tavshil, as the Shulchan Aruch says. Others say, no, what's the difference? Ruach ra, chai, tavshil, it's all the same. So unclear how to paskin regarding that, and therefore ideally a person should not put food below the bed.
That's raw,
right. So he would be in that camp that it applies even to that which is raw. So other cases that come up, let's say, let's talk about that situation of person putting food below someone else's bed, right? So, you know, let's say I go over to your house Erev Shabbos, I pour milk in your chiln. What's the status of that chiln?
A treif,
that's asur. So what if I take your food and put it below my bed, or take your food below your bed, and can I asur someone else's food through Ruach Ra? How does Ruach Ra work? Does it work like normal isurim in that regard, and therefore regular treif food, and I can treif someone else's food? Or perhaps it works somewhat differently. But take a look at the last source here, number 7. The Ben Yishchai in one of his shuvos writes, if you jump to a few words in, HaMeniach Ochel Tachas Amita Sheshora Lav Ruach Ra. A person put food below a bed. V'amarti Im Heniach Adam Ochel Shel Chaveiro. I take someone else's food. I take your food. Tachas Amita, below the bed. Shelo B'Diyaso. And you're unaware that I took your food. V'zeh Meniach. He is Zar, Shaina Bano. I'm not a son of this guy. I took some random person, or even a friend of mine. We have no relationship to each other. I have no rights to take his food away. It's stealing. I'm not his son. Velo Isho, Velo Avdo, Shabal. I don't work for him. Ha'ochel, Kidei Shenemar Yadam Kiyado. We don't say that. My hand is not viewed as an extension of his hand. I'm not part of his family. Ein Shora Lav Ruach Ra, Ha'amor Al Ha'ochel Munach Tachasamita. I do not have the right to create Ruach Ra on someone else's food. What is that compared to? Let's say, I'll give you an example. Let's say, I...
The Metzius exists. There is Ruach Ra. The food is under the bed.
So that's the question. Is this an inyan of Metzius, or is it something outside? So let me give you another model. Not quite the same, but at least appreciate an extreme. If one extreme is that we said, the milk in your chiln, I can. The Metzius is, there's milk in your chiln, it's usur. Yeah. I have to pay for ruining your chiln. That's nezek. Let's say I take your... house, and I'm saying, I'm being makdish your house. I'm being makdish it for the Beis HaMikdash. What would you say in that case?
I can't
do that.
Because you're not the Baal of the house.
Exactly. Ain adam oser davar she'ena shelo. I cannot aser something that I am not the Baal over. So he says here as well, the Ben Yishchai says, I'm not the Baal over this food. I cannot create an iser. So we see from this, it's not a question of metzias. There's some type of iser that's created beyond Metzius. However that works. We're comparing it to Hekdesh just because that's a model that we have out there, but it's not a question of Metzius.
You have to own it in order to be Metzius.
Correct, that's why it doesn't work. So I don't own the food, I'm taking your food. I don't own your food to aser your food either.
I don't own the milk either.
So that's a question of Metzius. There's a question of Metzius versus creating Isurim from nowhere.
So it sounds like was like a punishment for doing something that it's
not. Not a punishment. It's just
not
it's
having respect for the food that you're putting it on.
I don't see a punishment anywhere. It's just it's a result of this happening. It comes into this world not b'metzius. It's somehow where the person didn't take care of some sort. That's a result of
it's a chemical reaction. Only works when it's yours.
No, but chemical reactions work whether that's a metzius thing, right. Whether or not I own it or not.
In a metaphysical way, I'm saying that. If it belongs to you, then the Ruach Ra attaches.
Right. Right.
You're taking somebody else in the present of that.
Yeah, yeah. So some metaphysical way that however this works, we don't understand. It only works when you have the. I'll get another example. Okay, a muksa and basis. So halacha is a muksa and basis. If I have a muksa item and I place my phone with intent on my table, I can't move that table now because my table is muksa. It's a basis ledavar aser to my phone. Let's say you take your phone, or even my phone, and put it on my table. Do you have the right to answer my table? Metzius is, there's a phone on my table, Ben Hashmashos. Is my table now buses? I can't move it on Shabbos. The loch is, you have no right to answer my table. But Metzius, there's a phone on my table and Shabbos started? Doesn't make a difference. You don't have the right. So we have in the world of halacha, even though Metzius might dictate a certain thing, in the world of halacha, sometimes we say, you cannot aser my items. You can't aser my food. You can't aser my table. You can't make it into a basis. Here as well, according to the Ben Yishchai.
It's very hard for a
nether. Okay.
It's like a nether also.
Yeah, it's nether. Hekdesh is a nether, yeah.
What if the food is sealed?
So the Gemara said very clearly, if it's covered by barzel, afilu munachim b'kli barzel, there's still ruach ra. According to the Rambam, who said the concern was something might get in it, something physical might get into it, a covering it up would work, would protect it. But once it's ruach ra, the Gemara tells us the ruach ra penetrates right through even a barzel. Lechatchila, for both. Now, what about Leil Shimurim? Let's say Leil Seder. Are you allowed to place food below their bed? Not much sure why one would do this, but just in theory, the post can talk about, can you place food underneath your bed on Leil Seder, which is Leil Shimurim? High afikomen below the bed, and someone falls asleep. Now, can you not eat the afikomen? That's a great question. Okay, you hit it underneath the bed, and your I don't know, your brother fell asleep on the couch now, right underneath the couch now. The bed, it's he sprawled out, he fell asleep. Also, to eat the afikomen, great Shiloh.
That could be a bed, so, that could be the chair.
All right, well, chair could be chair, bed. We'll get to the bed part in a second as well. So would that now aser the afikomen? So the halacha is, we know the Rama writes that Leil Shimurim, there's a practice that we do not say the various psukim of Hamapil and Shema, different customs, what we say, what we don't say, because once I let's finish the point, we don't say these various things because it's Leil Shimurim. We can be completely protected, and there's no need for extra psukim of protection that night. That's why some have the custom not to lock the door. On Leil Shimurim, we're completely protected. And that's why the Gemara also says, even though there's a chashash of something called zugos, what zugos? The Gemara talks about Avri Pesachim, you can't have couples or pairs of things. You can't have two cups. However that works, a zugos, whenever there's a two, or a multiple of two, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, if you take two drinks or four drinks, it's dangerous to sakana. So the Gemara asks, what about, we have four dalkosos, that's four, that's it's an even number. That's two times two. How can you have dalkosos and Leil Seder? Answers the Gemara, one answer, Leil Shimurim. There's a special Shemira on Leil Seder, the Pesach night, we're protected. So too, some say, therefore you're allowed to place the food below a bed, if you wanted to, on Leil Shimurim. So in that case, if the Afikomen, if you had the Afikomen hidden below a bed and a guy fell asleep, you would be allowed to eat the Afikomen because of Leil Shimurim. But I'll give another reason why you'd be allowed to as well in just a second. No, but if he's a part of the household, right. So then.
Yeah. So it doesn't say it's Beno, it's easily, yeah. It says all the
men
of life. No, Ben Ishchai, he says if it's a child or a wife, they do have the right to asher. They're all part of the family. The Bnei Bias can asher the food.
All,
which your cousin
can.
Right.
I'm not sure if Dafka would mean, I'm not sure if Dafka would make a difference. As long as they have the right, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. Now, let's talk about, since you brought up the Afikomen case, let's talk about for a second the question of the Esrog that you brought on the plane underneath the chair that someone fell asleep on. So there are a few reasons to be mekel here. One is because, I think I heard the name of Rav Yashiv a number of years ago, he said, when it comes to mitzvahs, we're not concerned, Shomer Hashem Pesayim. That Kadosh Baruch Hu protects us when you're doing mitzvahs. So even though lichachila we're concerned with the ruach ra that's on food, when it comes to the mitzvah is able to overcome any chashash of the sakana, any chashash ruach ra. That was the svar that he had brought. That when I heard this again, maybe 8 years ago or so. But there are other reasons to be made by the dal minim as well, because when it comes to dal minim, when we say that the esrog has to be roi lachila, there are two types of isurim. An aser be'achila. There's something that's called machal sasuros, that's aser inherently, it's intrinsically aser, something, and then other things that are just aser mitzdadi, some side iser. So for example, arla, if a fruit tree within the first 3 years is called arla, you can't eat it, that's intrinsically aser. There's iser in that chef, there's a chef shal iser. But then there are other things, they're not intrinsically aser, it's just aser from some side reason, from outside reason. So, for example, let's say the Gemara talks about an egg that was laid on Yontif. So you can't eat it on Yontif because it's nolad. But the next day you could eat it. It's not intrinsically aser, it's just aser temporarily. So how do you view the ruach ra on the esrog? Something by an esrog that has an iser tzadi, an external iser, is still considered actually roi l'achila. Even though l'maisa may not be able to eat it, it's not intrinsically aser. Intrinsically, it's an esrog. So poskim say that since ruach ra is not intrinsically usr, it's just a type of external isr, but the fruit be'etzim is actually an esrog, and roi lachila, it would therefore qualify as a fruit, and you can use it. Even if you want to assume ruach ra is chal on the esrog, you could still use it because the iser is not intrinsic to the esrog any.
So you could get out. No, in other words, let's say you had food under your bed, and you realize in the morning, oh my gosh, I have all this food. What am I going to do with it? You could sell it then, technically. In other words, you're allowed to have. Right, you're allowed to have enough.
It's a good question. The problem is it lifnei iver? Because when you sell it to the other guy,
right.
So now not lifnei iver, it's a sakana. You can't sell something dangerous to someone else to make money. So you're right, mitzad hana, you're allowed. Can you sell it to a goy, let's say? Does ruach ra apply to a goy? I know they said that in terms of who sleeps on the bed, the post can say whether a yid or a goy sleeps on the bed, if they both create ruach ra. What I don't know is a goy affected by ruach ra? There's certain things that we are more affected than the goyim are affected by. So I don't know. It wouldn't be nice to sell to a goy if they are affected by it. You might be allowed to, but I wouldn't recommend it. So in terms of hana, you're right. But then there's a second concern of it's a...
What if the ruach only affects you? In other words, you're an Ashkenazi and you can't have you can have milk and you can have meat and,
right, I understand.
And fish together. Now you want to sell to a Sephardi, but it's a bit...
So it's a very, very interesting question. There was a Shaila a number of years ago in the YU, the supermarket across from the MTA building. And they had bought some type of candy that had gelatin, which for the Sephardim were fine, the Ashkenazim were not fine. But he bought a massive amount of it, I think. I think that's how the story goes. And it was a big hefset moment for him. But the Ashkenazim, most of us are Ashkenazim who went to YU, so could you sell it to the Ashkenazim or not? The Sephardim, it's okay. But Ashkenazim is not okay. I believe the heter, he was given a heter. It's hard for us to say this because we were the ones eating it. But because it was a hefsid mammon, and there are certain kulas you can rely on, so sometimes the Ramah is makil when it comes to hefsid mammon if it's a shita that's out there. So this particular case, let's say, ruach ra, so then since ruach ra, there are shitas that are out there that are makil, even l'chachila they're makil, bizman hazeh, there's no ruach ra anymore. So therefore, the Kav HaChaim says, "B'makom of hefsid mammon, if you lose a lot of money, you could be makel and not have to be concerned with ruach ra or even selling it to other people as well." Okay, so let's talk about another reason why, by the way, you could be makel on an airplane is as follows. The Minchas Yitzhak discusses a case of the stroller. We mentioned the stroller. You're going around the block with your child, you put some food below, you put the bottle of milk, some Cheerios, even your own food, an apple, who knows what. And then the child goes to sleep. Is that going to aser the food that's beneath it? So Minchas Yitzchak says, based on the Darchei Tshuva and the Kav HaChaim say, that it only applies, this is what Ezra was getting at before, some say it only applies to a real bed, not to a chair. Some say it applies to only a bed that a husband and wife sleep on together, not a regular bed. If it's a bed just for an isha or a bed just for an ish, that's not bechlal. Some also say that only applies if below the bed is real dirt. But once it's been tiled or is wood floor, it wouldn't be bechlal the iser. And because of all those different reasons that be mekel, the Minchas Yitzchak thinks there's no problem at all with food that's below the stroller. Again, because it's not on dirt, and it's not a real bed, and certainly not a bed where a husband and wife are on, and therefore he's mekel. And therefore, when it comes to the esrog on the airplane, the same halacha would apply that it wouldn't be aser. It's not the dirt. It's not a real bed. And it's not a bed that's made for an ish and isha. And therefore won't be makel for many, many reasons.
That should apply to food under an airplane seat also, then. The same way that...
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. The same thing. That's what I'm saying.
All those reasons,
yeah.
You can also apply to the camp case.
Exactly. Camp case as well. You could apply it. It's not the dirt. It's not a ish for isha. And therefore, it's a meat. It's a regular bed. It's probably better than what they had back then. So it's a regular bed, but it's not meant for ish for ishta. It's not a dirt. And therefore, there are many reasons to be makel as well. In Kent, very good.
So basically, we have our get out of jail free card.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. There's only if you want to be machmir. There's what to be machmir for. That's not for you. Okay. So and finally, we finish off with one last situation: is there a way to fix a ruach ra? Let's say you left it underneath the bed. Could putting it into the mikvah or washing it three times, is that going to be effective? Our hands in the morning, ruach ra, we wash three times. Is that going to be effective or not? So that too is a machlokus in the poskim, whether or not you can rely on that. So again, those who want to be machmir, there's what to be machmir on. Those who want to be makel, there's certainly what to be makel on. And then depending how comfortable you are with this ruach ra, so then that's where we stand. Okay, we'll stop here. I'm not sure what we're doing next week yet, but I'll figure something out.
Same
what?
Same, but-